to commence the day with hymn 283. 'Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought, do I love the Lord or no, am I his or am I not? 283.
reading from God's Word this morning is the book of Jonah. Let us read together the book of Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was about me for ever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil, that is, the trouble, that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord, and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying, when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, and slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Now therefore, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, Doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." And God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not laboured, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" May God be pleased to bless his own word to us and help us each now to pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before thee in that knowledge of that which we have read, that thou art kind and gracious, merciful and long-suffering. Oh Lord, if it were not so, how could we come before thee? Oh Lord, we thank thee for those wonderful words and descriptions that we have of thee in thy word. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt help us truly to believe these things. Lord, we come before thee just as we are, with all our sin, our burdens that we feel in our heart, those many things that cause us anxious thought, the turmoil and the doubts and the fears that may be in our hearts, the anxieties of the things of this life, and we trust of the things concerning our soul. Lord, there are many hindrances, many things that would come between us and thee, even as we come into thy house and approach thee at the throne of grace. Lord, thou hast that power to remove all these hindrances. Lord, we do pray, indeed with Jonah we would beseech thee. Lord, oh, do cast out those things that separate us from thee. Lord, we do desire that in our services this day, that thy presence and the help of thy Spirit might be felt indeed in our hearts. Lord, we think of that time at the dedication of Solomon's temple, when the glory of the Lord entered in and filled the place. And thou art the same even this morning. Lord, we do ask for that filling of this place with thy glory. Oh Lord, do prepare our hearts to worship thee, to give glory and honour and majesty and praise to thy name. Thou art worthy, Lord, of endless blessing and much better praise than we give thee. Lord, we pray that poor though we feel our efforts are, yet may they be sincere and may they be in truth. Oh, Lord, we need that help of thy Spirit to do these things. It can be at best, as it were, that of thine own that we shall give unto thee. Oh Lord, do come and touch our hearts, we pray. Leave none of us to be cold and hard-hearted. Oh Lord, leave us not in a darkness of spirit. Oh, we pray that as we have the lovely sunshine again before us today, oh Lord, do thou shine into our hearts. Give that knowledge of sin and give the knowledge of salvation only to be found in thee. Oh Lord, do come and teach and instruct us from thy word. We pray that thou wilt be our teacher. Lord, thou knowest the lessons that we each may need to learn. Oh, do come then and apply some part of the service to each soul. May there be none that shall go empty and unmoved away. Lord, may the gospel come not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Oh Lord, do give that assurance where there is weakness of faith. Lord, do keep us from boasting of our lack of faith. Keep us from boasting of our fears, that which dishonours thy name. Oh Lord, how fine a line it is to feel indeed how poor we are, and yet to have faith in thee, that thou wilt do for us all that is needful. Lord, we come again, that we trust it is not a vain repetition, but to plead thine own word before thee, that my God shall supply all your need. Lord, do help us to understand what we need. May we not, think that all the things that we want to have, our desires, are all necessary. Lord, thou hast not promised to give us everything that we want to have, because there are times when what we want would not be for our good. Oh Lord, do help us to understand what our true needs are, and to plead them before thee. And Lord, may they indeed be satisfied this day. Lord, do help the children and the younger ones, we pray, as they are setting out, as it were, in life. Lord, we would not take our lives for granted, but we know that naturally they look forward to those things that are ahead of them. Lord, we pray that there might be in their hearts, even while they are young, that prayerful concern to know what thou wilt have them to do, that thou wilt guide and direct them. Lord, do help them in times of trial and temptation. Help them in times of sadness and the difficulties that they experience. Lord, we know that at whatever age, even with little children, they have their various needs and their fears. Lord, we pray that thou wilt be near to each one. Do help them indeed, and shine a light upon the path that they should walk. Lord, we, as we grow older, we grow no better. We also need thee to keep us in times of temptation and trials. Oh Lord, how we see that we easily turn aside ourselves. We forsake thy ways and take up other things. Lord, we pray that thou wilt be with all in the midst of life, as it were, with the busyness and the cares of this life, and much that fills our time and our thoughts. Lord, we pray that it may not be true of us that God is not in all our thoughts. Lord, may there be room indeed for thee. Lord, do help those also who are older, perhaps feeling much affliction and weakness, perhaps much time alone. Lord, do thou be their companion and their friend, their comforter and their help. Lord, we pray then for all who are present. We think of others who may have that desire to be here and whose prayers may be with us and for us at this time, but who cannot come for their various reasons. Lord, we thank thee that thou art still able to draw near to them where they are. And Lord, do bless them, and may there be some profitable meditation upon thy word. Lord, do speak to their hearts, and may they know that they also have been in the presence of God today. Think of those that have the care of the young also. Lord, do remember them. Do give parents wisdom and understanding in the bringing up of their children. Lord, we would also pray for those who could be here. Oh, Lord, many even in this village who could fill this place many times over, but have no desire. Their thoughts are not toward thee. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wilt have mercy. We have read of that great turning around of a city that knew thee not, but was brought to repentance. Lord, oh, could it not please thee, even in our day, to send out thy Spirit, pour out such a blessing of repentance to those that know thee not as yet, that thou would quicken them into life, give them the knowledge of their sin, and point them unto thyself. May they look unto thee for salvation. Lord, do bring in many then, we pray. Thou knowest we desire not only here, but that building up of thy one church, wherever it is manifest, that it shall be to the glory and honour of thy name to call sinners unto thee. O Lord, may this and other places be filled with those who shall come and declare what thou hast done for their souls. O Lord, that payment of the vow. Oh, we pray that we may see thee work and rejoice and give thee the glory in this way. Lord, we do pray for our nation, for our Queen and her family and all those who have authority over us. We, Lord, have had those elections recently, and we pray that thou wilt use these things for the good of the nation. And Lord, that those who lead us might be know the fear of the Lord in their hearts. Lord, we know that we ask a great thing, but no individual amongst them is of any harder heart than we have been. Oh Lord, if thou hast had mercy upon us, thou canst have mercy upon them. Oh, we pray that there may be those in high office who shall pray unto thee for wisdom, and shall use that wisdom that thou dost give for the good of our land. Lord, may we be led aright and according to thy word, which ever remains topical, as it were. It is not out of date. Oh Lord, give us to see how thy word still applies to us in our day. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt give that repenting spirit then in the land. But Lord, we have to pray for it personally. Oh, do not leave us to only be concerned with others, though that is right. But Lord, may we have that concern for ourselves. Lord, we have sung of it. Oh, may they not prove to be vain words. Lord, they have all passed the words of that hymn, have passed the lips of all of us here. Oh, have they, as it were, gone through our mind also? Oh, we pray that thou wilt use these things also for our teaching, and that where there is that desire to know where we, how we stand, Lord, that thou wilt give those answers of confirmation and help to us. Lord, do grant to us that repentance over our sin and that confession of our sin unto thee. And Lord, may we be washed clean and made white in the blood of the Lamb. Lord, do say unto our souls, individually, personally, I am thy salvation. Lord, withhold not such a word from us, we pray. Do help us through the remainder of this service and through the day. Oh Lord, give help to one in speaking and to each one in hearing. Oh, may we indeed be prepared to receive thy word, our hearts softened, our ears open, Lord, that we might receive the good seed of thy word. Lord, do grant that it shall take root and bring forth fruit that shall be to the honour and glory of thy name. Lord, do make up in giving where we fail in our asking. Forgive anything that we have asked for that we have done so amiss. We would ask it all for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1119. Jesus, thou almighty Saviour, prostrate at thy feet I lie. Humbly, humbly I entreat thy favour. Condescend to hear my cry. 1119.
depending upon the Lord for his much needed help. I'd direct your thoughts this morning to the book of Jonah and chapter 1 and four questions that you will find in verse 8. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 8. I'll read all the verse, but our thoughts are with these four questions. Then said they, that is the sailors, unto him, to Jonah, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? Many of you younger ones will be faced, no doubt, in the next few weeks with examinations of one sort or another, and you will quite rightly be very concerned to be able to answer the questions that are asked of you. It is a common expression, isn't it, that we must answer the question that is set, and your teachers will no doubt have emphasized that very much to you. You can't answer a question that you wish had been asked. You have to answer the one that is in front of you. And I feel very much led this morning, as we consider these questions, to emphasize this point. We must all be able to answer these questions. And although, of course, in their direct context, they had a natural answer that Jonah could give, but they are also, as with God's help, we shall be able to see very searching questions concerning our soul. I didn't give much thought to any particular hymns today, because it's not my responsibility to choose them. But we can certainly say that our prayers for our friend to be guided in the choice were answered. If I had to choose a hymn, I could not have chosen a more suitable one than that which we started with. You see, this again speaks of many questions, doesn't it? And we've all sung it. Seems very solemn to me to emphasize that point. With the words of this hymn have gone through our lips, but did they really express our true thoughts? Was it really a point, or is it a point that you long to know? You're standing before God. I won't go through that hymn, but it is a very helpful hymn in the context of our subject. You see, the answers to these four questions will tell us a very great deal about our spiritual standing before God. May the Lord help us all to consider them together. Firstly, then, what is thine occupation? This is not just a matter of what work we do, though of course that should be a concern to us. Are the things that we work at, are they to the glory and honour of God? And especially I feel very much for you younger ones, as you set out into life and the things that naturally speaking are ahead of you. What career will you follow? What will be your occupation? And how will you spend your time? We spend, I suppose, about a third of our life, don't we, working? Certainly if we count the weekdays, perhaps not quite such a high proportion if you include the Saturday and Sunday, but a long time. What will be your occupation? I do desire and I pray for you that you will be led to pray for yourselves. You should commit these things to God, to direct you and to guide you. And now we have this word in the Epistle to the Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. What the will of the Lord is. Paul was brought, wasn't he, to that point on the road to Damascus where he had to fall down before the Lord and say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And I know from experience that there is a very great difference between praying that prayer, what wilt thou have me to do, and what we sadly have done at times, which is to decide what to do and then ask God to bless it. Now, that is very much in the wrong order. It is not for us to decide and then, as it were, to almost command God to bless the choices we have made, but to firstly seek what he would have us to do, and then to ask him to bless it and to help us to walk it out, because it doesn't necessarily mean that it will be an easy thing. So in that sense, what is thine occupation? But you know this expression, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. It means making the best use of that time. To redeem something is, as it were, to buy it back. Now, we cannot buy our time over again, of course, but we can, as it were, get the best out of it. Now, are we occupied in the best things? It is absolutely right, and all of us of every age, not just the young, but we should be diligent and apply ourselves to our studies or to our business or to our home or whatever it is. Of course, we must do these things heartily and with all our might. That is quite right. But we do need to be careful that these things do not become a hindrance. We do not think too much of these things, and it starts to leave us with little time for better things, for spiritual things, for the things of God. This is what redeeming the time really means. Or may we each be helped to have that right balance struck in our life, in the time and the efforts and so on that we put into each aspect of our life. What are we occupied with? Now, there is another aspect also to this. We read in the Epistle to the Hebrews, be not carried away with divers, that means many different sorts of, with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Now, because I feel that we must cover all four of these questions, we don't have time to go into any of these points in great detail, but this expression, not with meats, may appear rather confusing at first, but if you look at it in its context, and again if you read Hebrews chapter 9 and Romans chapter 14, you will, with God's blessing, get an understanding of what it means. It means really this, not the meats were traditions and customs and things that the Pharisees and the scribes especially added to the word of God. They went beyond what was required of the in the word of God, and they substituted their traditions and their customs for that which was far more important, that the heart be established with grace. Indeed, Jesus himself, I don't want to misquote it, Jesus himself said of them, "Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah," that is Isaiah, "prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Now, Paul says to the in this epistle to the Hebrews that being occupied in those things is not profitable. Now, that was not just written for those people that lived 2,000 years ago. Now, we all need to heed the word of God, that these things do not become a hindrance to our heart being established in grace. We can easily fall back upon customs and traditions and doing what will be acceptable to man, and we forget that God looks upon the heart. All of us here are completely acceptable, as it were, in one another's sight, aren't we? By our dress, by our custom, by our soberness and quietness and so on, and all of those things are good. But the Lord is looking upon our hearts. He's not looking upon our dress code, is he? I'm not saying that's not important, don't misunderstand me, but it's the heart being established by grace, that is vital. Oh, how we need to be occupied in the right things. What is thine occupation this morning? We need the Lord to show us what is right and give us that grace to do what is right in his sight. And then we have this question, "Whence comest thou?" That is, where have you come from? Where have you come from? Now, I just meant to say, I also want to look at Jonah's answer, as it were, or how these questions related to Jonah. You see, Jonah had become, he had found the traditions a hindrance. You may wonder what I mean. Well, Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria, and the Assyrian Empire, if you look at a map, you will see it was to the north of the Kingdom of Israel, and they were traditional enemies of Israel. And Jonah, as we read and is clear from this book, he did not want them to be saved. The tradition that Israel was right and all their enemies were wrong was very strong in Jonah's mind. And he would not, at first, go to preach to them, because he knew that God was merciful and kind. Now, that's very, very sad, isn't it, for a man to try to restrict the salvation of God, to say, well, no, it only applies to us. It's not, doesn't apply to anyone else. We need to be very, very careful. That was, as it were, how this question relates also to Jonah. But then we come to, "Whence comest thou?" Where have you come from? You know, two things in connection with that question. We read in Peter's first epistle that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. Let us examine our own heart this morning. Have we come from darkness into light? Whence comest thou? Now, we know that we have all known darkness. We are born by nature into a spiritual darkness. But has there been a difference made? Can we look back and say that things have changed? We have come from that time of darkness into light. Now, it may be that you feel, and it is very often so, especially in early spiritual days, and that doesn't necessarily mean that a person is young in years, but in early spiritual experience, there may be that real concern, as we were singing, if we know so much darkness, can we really say that we have known any light? Well, I think the something that John Newton said or wrote is very helpful to us. John Newton said something to this effect, that I am not what I would like to be, and I am not what I ought to be. I am not what one day I shall be, but I thank God I am not what I once was. Now, I suppose in one sense it is relatively easy in the case of John Newton to see the change that was made in his life from a blaspheming slave trader to a minister of the gospel. You could easily look at that life and you could say, well, clearly he was called out of darkness into light, marvellous light. And that would no doubt be true. But you see, we do not immediately in our experience have a perfect knowledge and understanding of all things. Some things at first are still obscure. Think of that man that who was blind, whom Jesus healed, but at first he said he only saw men as trees walking. Now, that is, as it were, to set forth, he had still a measure of darkness. He could not see as clearly as he desired. But there was, of course, later a full healing for him, and he saw clearly. And if the Lord has begun that work in your heart, in your soul, you may mourn the darkness that you still feel, but at least there is a measure of light. And the Lord, where he has begun to give light, will in time, and it will be his time, give full light, full understanding and knowledge of these things. But we think also of that other man who was born blind. He knew a lot of darkness, didn't he? Clearly was now a mature adult, as we read of him in John chapter 9. We don't know exactly how old, but he had had a lot of time in darkness. And Jesus healed him, opened his eyes, and he saw evidently clearly straight away. But you know how he was questioned. And again, that is a very instructive chapter in John. I would commend it to you to read. You see how his knowledge and understanding of Christ develops as you go through that chapter. Talks of him as a man, later as a prophet, finally as the Son of God. There is a deepening of his understanding, a clearing, as it were, spiritually of his sight. But you see, at one point when he was challenged by the Pharisees as to what he knew, he had to confess that there were still many things that he did not know, but he said, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, and now I see. Oh, whence comest thou? Is that something that you can cling to in faith? That whereas you were once completely blind, at least now you see something. As I say, there may be much more yet, as it were, to be accomplished in the work of grace in your heart. But do you know that you have come out of darkness into a light? But it is not only that initial calling by grace that we think of with this question, whence comest thou? But for those who may have been longer in the faith, still, where have you come from? My thoughts went to that parable of the Good Samaritan. And now that parable begins like this. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. If you look at a map, you'll find that Jerusalem is something like 2,600 feet above sea level and Jericho 800 feet below. So they're about, I think, something like 10 or 15 miles apart. So a very, very steep gradient. Now this really, in many ways, represents a backsliding soul. The one who has been in Jerusalem, that is, as it sets forth, the people of God. They've been with the people of God, but you see, his back was now turned to them, and his face was toward Jericho, which again is often used in the scripture to represent the unbelieving world. Now, he had come from Jerusalem, he was headed towards Jericho. Whence comest thou? Is the one here who has forsaken, or maybe is tempted to forsake the people of God, to join, as it were, with the world? Where have you come from? If that man had been stopped and asked that question, he'd have to say, well, I've come out from Jerusalem. Now I want to go to Jericho. Oh, I hope there are none here, or if so, that this word may find its place in your heart. You know what happened to him. It wasn't for his good, was it? You can't imagine, as we think of this spiritually, that he had made this a matter of prayer. He hadn't asked God which way to go, had he? God would never have sent him out to mix with the unbelievers. And he fell among thieves and was greatly wounded, left, as it is described, half dead. I think that curious expression, it means that if he had been left alone, he would certainly have died. He wasn't quite dead yet, but there was no hope for him that could be seen, as it were, anywhere about. He was certainly about to die. But there came one to him. That good Samaritan came where he was. That's a lovely expression, isn't it? As we think of Christ coming where we are. I sometimes think of that parable at Christmas time as we think of Christ coming into this world to save sinners. He came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Oh, there are many things in Scripture, especially that parable of the younger son who forsook all and went into the world. Very similar, really, isn't it? He left his father's house. He left Jerusalem, if you like. He went out into the world of Jericho. But he came into a time of need. And when he was brought back, how his father had compassion on him. I think that word is actually used again in that context, isn't it? Yes, when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Oh, there is a welcome indeed for the repenting sinner, isn't there? Whence comest thou? Then we have this question, what is thy country? What is thy country? Well, again, I'm sorry, I wanted to look at Jonah again. Whence comest thou, Jonah? Well, if you look where he had come from, he clearly, when the word of God came to him, he said that he was in his own country. And his own country was the town of Gath-Hepha, which is in the part of the land that was given to Zebulun, to the north of the Sea of Galilee. And Nineveh was more or less due east across the land, slightly to the north, but mainly east across the land. That was where he should have gone. But if you look at the map, he went south to Joppa and then took ship to Tarshish, which was on the coast of Spain. So he would have been going due west by sea. Could not have been going in a more opposite or contrary direction from that which God had told him to go. Whence comest thou? Oh, are we being obedient to the direction of God, or are we rebelling against that direction? What is thy country? As we thought of this, that very vivid picture that we have in the prophecy of Ezekiel came to mind in chapter 16. And of course, it links also with that parable of the Good Samaritan. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem, you see this is a word being spoken to the people of God, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. In other words, a very vivid picture that there is no hope for one as they are born naturally into this world. Our nativity, our nationality, from what country we come, there is no hope. It is all Canaan. Canaan as possessed by those six heathen tribes. There is no hope. What is thine country? Well, it is Canaan. Sinful, rebellious, not knowing God. By nature, that is where we are born. And the word of God goes further. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. Again, two of those six tribes that knew not God. Now, what it tells us is this: there is no hope of salvation out of nature. Many of us here have been very greatly favoured by God to have godly believing parents, and that is no small mercy. But we shall none of us be saved because of that fact. It is a great privilege, but it won't save your soul. When you appear before the judgment seat of God, as every one of us must do, it will be no good then saying, my father was a believer, or my mother was a true Christian. That won't help in that day, will it? And say these things come very close to us if we have a real desire to know our standing. What is thy country? Well, he goes on in this word in Ezekiel, as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None, that is, there was no cleansing. There was no cleaning up, as it were. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee. Vain is the help of man in the matter of salvation, to have compassion on thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. Again, we could describe this baby that here as it were, being half dead. If it was left in this state, it would die. But it wasn't left in that state. And when I passed by thee, doesn't this speak of that good Samaritan? He came where he was. This baby was never going to come to him, was it? It had no power to decide for itself. And even if it had, as it were, a will to do it, it had no ability, no strength to come to one that could save it. There was no hope for it as it was born. Its country was a desolate, a sinful place. But when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, doesn't speak of this child being a pleasing, attractive sight, does it? Oh, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Oh, have we some knowledge of the Holy Spirit speaking such a word into our case? Live, live. Yes, there was no hope for you under your natural nativity and birth. Yes, you would have perished if I had not come by, but I did. Oh, bless God, if we have some a knowledge of this. I do really love that hymn. I think it's 1040, I believe, that is based upon this account. You might like to look at it, but those words often are in my thoughts. Ours appeared a hopeless case, such it had been, but for grace. Oh, from what is thy country? Well, we read of those who were brought by the Spirit of God to live and given faith to believe, and they seek for a different country. In the 11th of Hebrews, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. It speaks of their faith, doesn't it? And embraced them, that speaks of their desire, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Again, time for bids us to explore this thought, but you might like to do so at your leisure. I was thinking yesterday morning about asylum seekers, and really this gives us a picture of an asylum seeker, doesn't it? One whose own country of origin and of birth is no longer a home to them. They don't want to go back there. There is death, there is danger for them, but they seek a different country. Oh, you spiritually, don't mean to be flippant, but it had a deep impression upon me. Are we spiritual asylum seekers? Oh, they declare plainly. They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. That is, an heavenly. Oh, can you say in answer to this question, what is thy country? Yes, I acknowledge my country of origin. There's no hope for me there. But by faith, I desire a better country. Oh, it goes on, doesn't it, speaking of that city that God has prepared, whose builder and maker is God. If we have In answer to this question, whence comest thou, if we can say, yes, we've come out of that first country. We don't want this opportunity to return, do we? That would be backsliding. That would be going back from Jerusalem to Jericho again. We don't want that. We desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Oh, I do urge you, friends, to answer these questions. You're not answerable to me, but in your own heart as before God, knowing that there's no cheating in this examination. You can't pretend to have a knowledge that you haven't got here. God will see through that, won't he? God knows our hearts this morning. He knows what is the true answer to this question in the case of every one of us. Or do look to it that you have an answer. And of what people art thou? Of what people art thou? That part that I read previously concerning coming out of darkness into light, if we read all of the context around those words, we find this: but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. Peculiar people. For you younger ones especially, we need to explain that this word peculiar doesn't mean what we use it to mean these days, of something that is strange or very different from anything else. But it has the old English meaning, which you still find in legal documents and other places like that, of meaning that there was an ownership, a possession in that sense. It belonged to someone. And that is what this means here. Ye belong to someone. You are a peculiar people. Belong to God because Christ redeemed them. He paid the price for them. Therefore, they belong to him. I think we sometimes rather thoughtlessly use that expression, God's people, forgetting the importance, as it were, of that apostrophe and the S. That means the people that belong to God. A peculiar people, an owned or a possessed people. Of what people art thou? Are you a peculiar person in this sense, owned by God, bought by God, the price, the blood of Christ? Oh, that's a price that we can't, as it were, put a pound sign on, can we? We can't attribute any sort of financial value to that. It goes far beyond all the riches of this life. But what a price he paid, that they might be his people. And Peter then goes on, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That is a quotation from the prophecy of Hosea, where there the son and the daughter were born, and they were Hosea was told to call the son Lo Ruhamah, which means, ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. And then his wife bore a daughter, and She was called Lo Ammi, which means I will not have mercy. But then the Lord showed his compassion. You see, by nature they were in that state. They were not his people, they were not born his people, as it were. They were not, he would not have mercy on them by their nature. But then he changed them and said that they were to be called Ammi, which means my people, and Ruhama, which means having obtained mercy. Oh, of what people art thou? Can we say we are indeed God's people? Now that will be evident by the answers to these questions. Not be evident just because we are found here in chapel on a Sunday morning. It needs to go much deeper than that. Are we really God's people? Has he really paid such a price for us? Oh, it's no wonder it's an anxious thought, is it? Oft it causes anxious thought. Am I his or am I not? I trust we haven't sung those words with in vanity, as it were, just thoughtlessly. It's a solemn thing. I hope, I trust you do pray for our brethren that have the responsibility of choosing hymns. It's certainly no easy matter, as we know from experience. And perhaps someone was only saying to me last week how they felt often that people come up to the services and the hymns are on the board and that's all that there is to it. Well, I'm sure our friends would say that very much is not all that there is to it. Now we need to pray. But we have that promise. I have that promise that was given to me in being sent out. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. And very often that is seen in the choice of the hymns. The Lord going before us. Now, I say we sung that hymn for a good purpose this morning. I trust it will be blessed to us too, even if we did sing it thoughtlessly, to go back over it and think of it again. Am I his or am I not? Of what people art thou? Now, Ruth exemplifies or typifies much of what we have said this morning. If you think back over the life of Ruth, where she had an occupation to follow, didn't she, in a gathering of the corn, and whence comest thou? She had come out of her heathen land of Moab. She had been brought, as it were, out of darkness into the light of the land to which she went. What is her country? Her country was Moab. It was in future to be Bethlehem. And of what people art thou? Well, Ruth said, didn't she, when she was given that opportunity to have returned, you see. She could have gone back. Her sister-in-law went back, didn't she? You see, the opportunity was there just as much to Ruth. And Naomi said to her, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people. Of what people art thou? Will you go back to those same people and unto her gods? Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, and this will be the language, I'm sure, of all who have a good answer to these questions, all whom in whom the Holy Spirit has begun that work, it will be this: entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And Naomi saw that she was steadfastly minded. Oh, may that grace be given unto us to be steadfastly minded in these things, not driven this way and that way, as it were, but steadfast, steady and sure, to follow after that good way. Oh, may the Lord then be pleased to bless us with the right answer, a good answer to each of these questions as we consider them and consider what it tells us of the work of God in our case, in our soul. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £680, and so far in the car park boxes we've collected £1,200, for which we would be very thankful. God willing, Mr. Warboys will address Sunday school this afternoon. Mr. Wheatley is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Fred Ince next Lord's Day, who also hopes to administer the Lord's Supper. Let us close with hymn 535. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners, who can make its wonders known? Sin-born slaves through grace are winners of a bright celestial crown. Jesus gives us endless glory and renown. 535.
do pray that thou wilt lead us and teach us to consider these things rightly and soberly before thee, to know how stands the case, my soul, with thee. Oh Lord, do prepare us for the great test, that day of judgment that lies before us. Oh, we do pray that none might go away unconcerned about these things. But Lord, we pray that thou give that continuation of thy work where it has been begun. And if not, O Lord, we commit such to thee and pray that thou wilt yet begin, for ye must be born again. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of Christ the Son, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each. Amen.